accession number 15212, Reel 3.
Mr. Fisher, Reel 3. Did you volunteer for the services in the war?
Actually, I did. I recall that there was a point when I realised that I would be, as it were, called up for conscription service, just like anybody else. And I actually wanted to go into the Air Force. And there was talk about some greater difficulties getting into the Air Force than into the Army or the Navy. But I wanted to get into the Air Force, and I wanted to be a pilot. So I volunteered to be an Air Force pilot. I wasn't too aware of what the requirements were. I just know you're supposed to be fit, you know, but people did get into the Air Force. and I had my medical somewhere at Euston, I remember it now. And they turned me down flat, and they put me in a category that no service. And it turned out, of course, that it was all to do with my bad hearing and my constant problem with the ears. I suppose it should have been really very obvious, you see, but that was a fact. So I did not serve in the forces, other than, I suppose we can call it a token one day, but really I didn't serve, and that was the reason for that, you see.
Can I ask you about the attitude of people in Hackney towards the German Air Force who were carrying out the bombing? Was there any hatred of them?
We just hated Germany per se, whether it was in the uniform of an SS or whether it was the uniform of a pilot or whatever. We didn't consider that they were brave people. We just considered that this was the enemy. And certain stages in the war, of course, they were apparently being extremely victorious, you know, certainly times in North Africa and times in Crete and Sicily and places like that. And, of course, for us, it was a wonderful thing that when the tide seemed to be turning, with Montgomery, you know, and we were hoping for things in Europe, and it was wonderful for us that the tide seemed to be turning. And, of course, Mr. Churchill was a great inspiration to all of us, I would say. His speeches were something that we took extremely well, and they were most encouraging and gave us a lot of heart. But as I said before, on one occasion, it's amazing the degree to which you become used to a deprivation in terms of, you know, rationing and shortages and inability to travel, everything like that, and the air raids and all the bombs. You just became used to them. But we certainly were not happy that we weren't at a certain stage not being successful. And once we started to become successful, we were all cheered and looked towards the end of the war in great hope, you see.
Did you listen to enemy broadcasts like Haw Haw?
No, I think I once accidentally caught something, but no, it was not for me. I think I did once, and the talk was, of course, it was just a lot of old twaddle, and we wouldn't accept anything that the enemy would tell us. I had one or two brothers in the army at the time. In fact, I had three brothers in the army at the time. So we were all aware of the war, you know, on a daily basis.
Do you have any specific VE Day memory?
Well, I remember, of course, joining in with all the others in going to the West End of London with the millions of people and just being happy and dancing in the streets and going from one place to the other, not worried about the fatigue, just going on for hours and hours and being part of the crowd and being happy, extremely happy, very much so. And I remember there were some street parties, I remember, as well. I think it was VE Day celebrations. There were street parties people enjoying themselves and everybody contributing towards parties in the areas.
And VJ Day, was that celebrated?
Or it may have, well, I'm not sure whether it was VE or VJ where all these parties are taking place. It may have been the EVE Day. As far as VJ is concerned, of course, that was already much more distant, strangely enough. The fact that the European war was over was the main thing for us. Of course, we subsequently wanted the enemy of the Japanese to be defeated because of all the horrors, and we wanted the war to be finished. But it wasn't, quote, at home, unquote, and one did have a different attitude. Communication was somewhat different in those days than today, and television, well, who knew about that? So we didn't have all the pictures of what was going on. We just were aware that there'd been all the atrocities. And we were very happy, of course, that it ended. Now, people say, should they have dropped the bomb? You know, the atomic bomb, one or two. I think we had to in the end. Because I think in war, you use that which you can use in order to shorten the war.
The 1945 election has gone down in history with its big Labour majority. Did that have any impact on you at the time?
Well, I certainly would have voted Labour at the time, even though Churchill was a hero, because I was of a mind to have what I thought was a system that would give greater equality. Can I say that I feel that today I know somewhat better? That doesn't mean to say that I consider that the Conservative government, the present one, has not made a number of errors. After all, it's been in power for a number of years, but I just can't see that the socialist theories would be one that I am able to go along with in the light of my experiences. After all, I'm not a baby anymore, and I've gone through socialist governments, and I've seen what they promised that they would do and what they have in fact achieved. And I just don't consider that they are the sort of party that would deliver in the way that they indicate they will want to deliver. Everybody wants to deliver top-class education for everybody. I do know about certain records of the Conservative government, for example, today. I mean, we know we have lots more children going to university than a number of years ago. So it is a constantly improving standard. We do know that this country, in common with all others in Europe, has gone through an enormous depression, and we've come out of it more quickly than the others have done, and that we're progressing on the good road to recovering the economy. And the benefits of that will be reaped by the people in this country over the next number of years, you see. One of the fundamentals, of course, is that they have tried desperately to get rid of inflation, and they seem to have gotten it to a level of reasonable acceptability, you see.
But coming back to 45, do you remember anything about the campaigning?
Oh, I remember going to hear Mr. Attlee speak in the Assembly Hall opposite Hackney Town Hall. To me, he was a bland speaker, a bland appearance, not terribly impressive. But, you know, it wasn't always that made people vote. I feel that if you're of a mind to accept certain dogma or philosophies, and if it's put over well enough, and you are aching for something of that ilk, then you will go along with it, you see. The practicality of what a politician will suggest is not something that can necessarily be achieved. In most cases, it's not achievable.
Were you a member of any political party?
No, I've never been a member of any particular political party. I've kept my options open. Well, I had my views, and I have switched.